Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents...
Is your website purdy?
Mind your business!
Does it work right?
Mind your business!
Can people find it?
Say it! Say it!
Mind your business!
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening to us any way that you're listening to us. Bring us with you wherever you go on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Listen right off our website at welcometomind.com. And any questions you have regarding website design, development, SEO, internet marketing in general, social media, what have you, send us those questions through our Facebook page, through any of our social media right off of our website, welcometomind.com. We'll be more than happy to address those questions here on the podcast. Now, I've been really looking forward to this one. This is something that we did. It's been at least 6-7 months before we did this, but I love talking about logos with our own lead designer, Chad McComsey, co-founder and lead designer of Mind Development and Design. We talk music a lot because we're both music nuts, and I love getting his take on logos, because for you as a business owner, when you think about your own logo, you know, you may look at your logo, you may be perfectly happy with your logo and how it represents your business. But particularly if you're thinking, maybe I need a better logo, or maybe you don't have a logo for your business, it's kind of fun to look at some of the classic band logos that we see, especially from the 80s, the real beginning of the marketing age in music. And we already looked at the 70s about 6-7 months ago. We looked at some of the classic band logos of the 70s, and we talked about not just the logos but the history of them. But this week we've got Chad McComsey back with us on the podcast. Chad, it is great to have you here, and we're going to be talking about some of those classic logos from the 80s, and more from an immediate impact standpoint rather than the history of the logos, but just visually and from a design standpoint. Chad, thanks for coming back on the podcast with us. And I especially with regard to some of these first ones you're talking about, Poison and Van Halen, I'm just really looking forward to your insight on this, man.
Good day, sir. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me here. There's a couple fairly iconic 80s icon logos that I wanted to discuss today. Just some things that I kind of like about them. I'm certain, we can get into some of the bad stuff as well, but let's talk about some of the cool stuff, you know? So the first one that I want to bring up is Poison. Probably one of my favorite logos, to be completely honest with you, from the 80s. And that's realistically, that's because, long before I knew what I wanted to do when I grew up, and long before I had any concept of what design was or what art and colors or any kind of stuff like this, I knew why that classic green Poison logo worked so well. The color, the shape, the pointy angles, the smooth curves in some of the spots, it really reminded me of a snake, like, duh, you know? And additionally, on top of that, at the time, there was a really popular household icon named Mr. Yuck. And he was the sticker that, parents would put all over the place on all the stuff under the sink, because it was, basically meant, to keep kids out of, like, the dangerous chemicals. So you'd put a Mr. Yuck sticker on stuff. And those stickers were this, this vibrant green and black, and the face was, like, sticking his tongue out, like, it was, but that's exactly what I think about. I see that logo, I see the name, I see whatever it is, like, I put those two together, and I really think that, as far as a logo is concerned, as far as to go with a name and to go with a style of music, I mean, Poison, they nailed it. That's probably one of the best ones of the 80s that I could, you know, that I personally think, you know, is the best. So the next one that I would say was very, very popular, very, very effective would have to be Van Halen. Definitely one of the most iconic, we'll say. You know, this is it's legitimately the logo that you saw etched into many cabin bunk beds or scrolled onto the forearms of young aspiring metalheads while you were at sleepaway camp. Good times. You know, the wing design, you know, that's been mimicked, you know, and, you know, in tribute, you know, by a number of bands and fans, you know, around the world. Like, it is part of their, you know, that is them. You see those wings coming out of any kind of logo. 9 times out of 10, it's probably because of Van Halen. You know, the design in itself overall is pretty simple. You know, basic, you know, the initials, you know, the V, the H, you know, the more focus on the V shape, of course, but, you know, then, you know, you have those wings, and, you know, to a degree, I kind of feel like they're a little bit militaristic, possibly, you know, a little insignia type of a feel. It's kind of like you would see on, like, a service medal or, like, a pin of something like that. Whatever it is that was, like, you know, that icon, that feel that they were going for, I mean, they nailed it. It's, you know, it's a repetitive element. It provides balance and it provides direction, and you can use that in a number of ways, which they have done over, you know, many years in other pieces of their, you know, of their work. So that definitely one of the more iconic, well-known logos, we'll say, you know, of the 80s. On the simpler side, you know, we have Guns N' Roses. Now, I like Guns N' Roses, got no problem with them. I mean, I'm sure you've seen, you know, they're back playing again. Got some funny stuff going on there. My goodness. Anyway, but all that aside, they have additionally, you know, a lot of iconic imagery in their repertoire. Lots of skulls, lots of flowers, lots of top hats, we'll say. But, you know, for this one, I'm going to talk about, like, their circular bullet logo, the plain Jane, you know, GNR logo, the legit Guns N' Roses in the actual logo. So, you know, all the music, all the history aside, all the fun stuff, the logo is pretty basic, but it works well, you know, for a few reasons. The guns, the roses, the repetition, the way they mirror each other, you know, it bounces nicely, it looks good, it works. The text on the top and the bottom, the guns and the roses, also balances nicely. It doesn't, you know, it's not the N. I mean, what can you say? It's like Guns N' Roses, you know, it's that too for some odd reason. I can't say why, but that works. If they would have used an ampersand, who knows, probably would have looked like shit. If they would have used the actual word and, it would have been too big or too long. It just didn't fit. And maybe that's even something that has to do with their name as well. I'm just looking at, you know, visuals, you know, at this point. But anyway, like I said, that, you know, everything kind of balances nicely, and that, you know, I really kind of like the way that they used the rear end of the bullet, like the back of the casing, like the shell, for, you know, that back for that logo. It encapsulates the whole piece. It makes it, you know, it balances it. It gives, you know, you can use it in a number of different ways now, just because of that shape that is there, in addition to, you know, the simple other elements. So it was actually something I just recently noticed too. I hadn't really given it much thought until I started, you know, really kind of looking at it, and the fact that it is a you know, the rear of a bullet, you know, further goes into the Guns N' Roses, you know, name and the, you know, the imagery. So I think that's kind of cool. One of those, you know, additional little things that, you know, some people might not have really picked up on initially.
Right now, I'm admittedly kind of laying back on this podcast, because this is more about your design input, your design, your vision, what you see as a designer when it comes to these logos. However, I did specifically ask what probably my favorite metal band of the 80s. I still love them, and they definitely helped get me through high school and college. Iron Maiden. I know it's not the greatest logo ever, and I can't wait for your input on it. But I did when we were putting this podcast together. I specifically asked Chad to give his input on the Iron Maiden logo because I personally don't think it's one of the best logos ever, but yet it's one of those that I distinctly remember being emblazoned in my psyche as a kid, because when I saw the first couple Iron Maiden logos, it looked like such a complete package that it made me feel like I had missed out on a complete history of a band and I needed to get caught up, when in fact they only had two or three albums out. So Iron Maiden.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Iron Maiden. Yeah, that's a cool one. Honestly, it's not one that I would put on a list of, you know, really good logos or really bad logos. It's a good logo, but it's not, you know, earth-shattering. It's not stellar by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a letter mark. It's words, stylized words. The angles, the hard edges, that makes really good sense. Like, I feel like that's more on the, you know, the iron side of Iron Maiden. You know, it's the metal, the steel, the beams, you know, something, like I said, the hard edge of it. That connection, you know, is really nicely done with the way that they laid out the type here. It's not Iron Maiden as far as like my visual perception of Iron Maiden, like the medieval torture device, but rather, you know, their use of it, you know, still, hey, medieval torture device, it's a pretty badass name for a metal band, if, you know, if you think about it. So, you know, I don't know what they would have done, you know, if they actually did try to put a bunch of more spiky type of craziness going on into the logo, but it probably would have ruined it and kind of ruined the, you know, that hard, the iron feel that you get, you know, with what they have right now. Potentially, maybe they'd turn into Def Leppard. I mean, it's you know, if you think, now that we're talking about like the spiky letter type of thing going on here, Def Leppard is one of those bands, you know, whereas Poison, I kind of figured it out right away. Like, it made sense. Def Leppard never really made sense to me. As much as I try to give it credence by saying that it's, you know, it has some basis on the Union Jack, you know, like the flag, you know, that they, you know, that they're doing some cool angular thing going on there. It just doesn't resonate with me in any way, really. The letters are kind of cool if you're into that kind of thing, but I don't think that we'll put it this way, if Def Leppard didn't have some kind of redeeming musical value, they wouldn't have gotten anywhere based on their logo. So we'll say that, at least not in my opinion. I just don't get it. Though, looking at Def Leppard and looking at Iron Maiden and looking at some of the other, so look at some of these old logos, these like old hard rock logos, and then, you know, thinking there's some kind of like the, like Def Leppard, like that's, there's like an evolution here, you know, like we're getting into like some weird area of rock where, you know, the 80s, you know, the early 80s, you know, mid 80s, we started getting really creative with our lettering and spiky and trying to, you know, demonstrate how badass our metal was, with our, you know, with our logos, by doing cool stuff with our logos. And I think that, you know, it generally, either depending on how you looked at it, evolved or devolved into what you see now in a lot of heavier metal, black metal, death metal, you know, bands, like where they have these really crazy elaborate logos of, you know, spiky stuff or splatters or like all kinds of stuff, and you can't like really read it all that great, but it's because it's so designed and so like ornate and overly, you know, embellished that the, you know, the word itself is kind of difficult to see, but you look at it and you're just like, wow, that's kind of cool. You know, so that's like, so I kind of feel like that kind of idea, that kind of design has its roots in Def Leppard, as odd as that sounds. So that's probably my pieces on those guys, you know, specifically. There were a couple of other, you know, one-offs that I just had a couple ideas about when I was looking up, some of these logos. The difference this time around was that I'm just looking at them visually, why I like them right away. Just more design oriented rather than the history behind them. So like we did with the 70s. So the ones that I had here, just based off visuals that I thought were really solid or that were really strong. One definitely standout was Skid Row, just because like that grungy type that they used. The concept, like what Skid Row legitimately is, the feeling that you get like with that logo. Skid Row, the music, it's hard, it's rough, it's grungy, it's like, before, Skid Row was kind of like grunge before grunge, but if you think about Skid Row and you think about like that, like they nailed it, like that's, you got it. Another good one that I liked was New York Dolls.
Oh, the Dolls.
Kind of
love
glammy,
that logo.
Glam rockish. They have the lipstick going on. It's pink. It's soft. It's the curvy. It kind of makes sense. If you want to paint a visual, the New York Dolls does it very well, in my opinion.
Chad, thank you again for coming on the podcast this week and giving your insight on these logos. And for everyone listening, I hope that this has been fun. And I hope it's been as fun for you as it's been for us, because I love this stuff personally. But I also like the fact that this kind of insight, it can hopefully get your gears turning and get you thinking in terms of color, the color and the shape, Foo Fighters, with regard to your own logo and how it represents your own business. Because that's the whole point with this. We like having fun with this, but there are examples in front of us that we can draw inspiration from. And hopefully this week, this insight has helped you with regard to what you're trying to communicate with your own logo as a representation of your business. Thank you again for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and right off the website. Keep your questions coming. We're happy to answer them. And we'll see you next time.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
The Samuel L. Bronkowitz production.